You know, it's funny. Look, the beat writer 6 days out. Now we have another one from Cody Stavenhagen of The Athletic. Making arguments like many of the, what we made here, but also saying, cool your jets. I'm thinking there's a big move. I'm starting to think that when the Tigers call about Eugenio Suarez, or if they're calling about O'Neal Cruz, or they're calling about Nolan Arenado or whoever, that what the response they're getting is, give us Max Clark. And they're like, well, we're not doing that. Or give us Kevin McGonigal. And they're thinking, we're not doing that. And it's very interesting to me that two beat writers now have come out and said, don't expect a big splash. Just reading during the break there, the story that Cody Stavenhagen posted at 10:30 on The Athletic. Evan Petzold on the Free Press came out with one today that we've tweeted out the link, by the way, if you want to read it yourself. Here are some of the key points as we'll go over this again, just to bring everybody in the audience up to speed, because we opened the show with this. Emmanuel Clase for Max Clark, no chance. Eugenio Suarez for anybody, don't count on it. The Detroit Tigers aren't expected to make a big splash at the 2025 trade deadline. The Tigers don't plan to trade any of their five top 100 prospects as ranked by MLB Pipeline, staying committed to their goal of long-term sustainability. They also value the unpredictability of their matchup-based offense and intend to rely on internal pitching options in hopes of rekindling their postseason magic. This isn't an all-in push to win the World Series in 2025. Recent slump won't push the Tigers front office into an aggressive strategy at the trade deadline, despite problems in the bullpen and on offense. The Tigers think there's enough internal upside to hold steady. They're confident Zach McKinstry can continue producing at a career best rate. And even if a hitter like Javi Baez regresses, they expect either Parker Meadows or Matt Veeling to emerge as an impact bat. Kerry Carpenter is also lined up to return soon from a right hamstring injury if needed. Infield prospect Haoyu Lee could be promoted from AAA Toledo as a key right-handed bat in the final 6 weeks. The Tigers haven't closed the door on trading for Suarez, but there's no indication they'll pursue him aggressively. The Tigers are counting on Jose Urquidy. When October arrives, the Tigers plan on having a deep pool of starting pitchers available. Urquidy, Scooble, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, Cobb, Montero, Gibson, Long, and Melton. Some of them remain in the rotations. Others will shift to the bullpen. Three of them, Urquidy, Cobb, and Gibson, Long, are currently injured. Of the three, Urquidy and Cobb haven't thrown a pitch in the big leagues all season, though Urquidy is ramping up for a return as soon as late August following a second elbow surgery. The bullpen is where the Tigers are pursuing upgrades. Right-handed reliever David Bednar, the Pirates, Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals, and Rafael Iglesias of the Braves are reasonable trade options. Just a side note, by the way, Helsley was asked about the possibility of getting traded recently, and he's not having a great year, closer for the Cardinals, but he did say, I'm 90% sure I'm gone. But the story goes on to say, beyond trade candidates, the Tigers plan to promote from within to replicate last year's bullpen success in the final months of the season and into the postseason. 24, Gunther, Hanifee, and Brisky emerge as clutch contributors. And 25, the Tigers want to see if Drew Sommers, I'm not sure he's pitched in the majors. I got to check that. He is in AAA Toledo, and I don't think he's ever been in the majors. Drew Sommers, Alex Lang, and Tyler Madison can lock down important roles. They'll also be able to move some starters such as Madison to the bullpen for the playoffs. Expect the Tigers to add at least one reliever at the trade deadline, but that doesn't mean they won't continue to promote arms from within the organization. Story from Cody Stavenhagen, The Athletic. Bullpen's a priority. The Tigers seem to be focused on their early trade efforts on relief market. Should be no surprise. Swing and miss relief help. The American League's lowest whiff rate is the Tigers' most glaring need. It's an element of this team that could be especially crucial in the postseason. Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals and David Bednar of the Pirates figure to be the two most ideal fits. I believe Bednar and another name I brought up, Jake Bird, who is with the Rockies, would lead the Tigers in whiff rate if they went out and got them. Does Eugenio Suarez make sense? Suarez is the biggest bat in the market right now. He's a right-hand power hitter who plays third base. Seems in many ways like a stellar fit. Tigers aren't totally ruling out trade discussions for Suarez, but they don't seem intent on going all out for him either. And he points out later in the story that they'd be bidding against the Yankees. There are other suitors here, and the Yankees are chief amongst them. At this point, parting with substantial prospect capital or even big league depth like Justin Henry Malloy or Jace Young seems like a total departure from the Tigers' identity. Don't expect the Tigers to move any of their top prospects in the top 100. I mean, look, there's There's obviously something cooking down there at Comerica. The two insiders are writing the same thing. Doesn't sound like it's going to be super aggressive. The reason I don't love it is because I feel like the clock is ticking on the Scooble era in Detroit quite possibly. And so you want to strike while the iron's hot, while you still have him. Could it make sense? Well, as one caller very astutely pointed out, all these young prospects they don't want to give up could be cheap alternatives to allow you to afford Scooble in a world where other teams can always bid more. Tigers can pay more than they have. But if you want to try and run with the Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Dodgers, etc., it's going to be hard, and you better be right about every long-term big contract you sign, or you are handcuffed more so than those organizations that have greater revenue streams. That's one. The other argument might be is, look, if you know you have the next Bobby Witt Jr. or Julio Rodriguez on deck in the organization, why move him? And if that's what teams are asking for, it can make sense. So there's two sides to the argument. I tend to lean towards strike while the iron's hot, and this iron's very hot and clock ticking on Scooble. But 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. Murray in Oak Park, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Murray.
Doug Cars, how are you doing?
I'm good, Murray. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
But I'm disappointed with the Tigers.
Are you?
They have a table setter in the farm system that could give the pitcher fits because it's hard to defense a drag bunt. And Akil Badu has all the ingredients to be a great table setter, which give the pitcher something to worry about because he you can't keep him off the base. Aparicio, Brock, Ishiru, all of them knew how to drag a bunt. And you couldn't keep him off the base. So this talent is being wasted for no reason.
Well, I think the reason is he's not as good as the players you mentioned.
He plays good defense. He's durable. He can hit, and he was the fastest one on the team.
Ichiro Suzuki is going into the Hall of Fame in a couple days. I think putting Akil Badu into that same category is aggressive. I mean, I love your commitment and your belief in him. I think are you maybe overvaluing him a little bit?
It won't hurt to give him a try.
Well, no, and I mean, we may see Akil Badu, and I've appreciated his contributions. Remember when you call him up, somebody else goes down. You have to bring him up and replace him, somebody on the roster. I actually expect we'll probably see Akil Badu before the year is done, but I think putting him in the category as you did with some of those greats, some of the all-time greats, Hall of Famers, that's a lofty, lofty place to put him. 248-539-9797. Robbie in Clinton. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think the Tigers give them a chance for the last 5 years. I mean, everybody goes through a losing season. I mean, a losing streak. And remember Daryl Alexander they got for Smoltz, you know?
Yep.
They won the World Series with him, but if they kept Smoltz, they might have won three.
Well, they didn't win the World Series with Doyle Alexander. They did win the division, and they went to the playoffs, but they lost. Okay. Yeah, but look, I wouldn't let – I'll say this. The Smoltz-Alexander trade accomplished what they were hoping to accomplish. They were in a dogfight with Toronto, and he won a bunch of games down the stretch for them. But this is always the risk you run. It shouldn't handcuff you for 40 years.
I'm just saying, like, if Smoltz was ready then, but he'd have been ready. Look at what he did for Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of this. Look, it's up to Scott Harris to know what he's got in his own system.
You're right, Doug, and it's up to him to pick and choose who he would have to trade if he needs to. Like, let's say he just loves Max Clark. Like, he is the next guy. They're almost positive he's going to be an all-star, right,
mm-hmm.
with the big league club, then move one of the other guys. Because for me, I'm always about those are assets to help improve the big league club. You know what I mean? Whether they're coming up or not, or you're using them to get players that are ready right now. And this team right now is too good, or have shown they've played too good for the majority of the year to not give them a real chance to go long in the postseason. And we mentioned this yesterday. It's not just about winning the Central. It's about getting the bye, the first seed.
Yeah.
You know, that's important too. I want the easiest path to the championship, the path of least resistance. And if it gets me a free series, I'm taking that. So I don't want to lose that either. That's, you know, I don't know if that's lost amongst this whole losing streak they've been going
Shouldn't be. I mean, it's important. And that's why I'm in favor of them being more aggressive. The other side of this is just if you're not going to crack, and Yzerman did it, and Yzerman's guys, you know, there's a lot of praise for the Red Wings organization. I feel like there's more praise for the Tigers prospects. And so to me, you just better be right. You better be right. Because, you know, if you're wrong and you save these assets and they don't pan out, it's a massive wasted opportunity. Now, I'm not going to assume that Scott Harris is an idiot. He's not given us enough evidence to define him as an idiot, okay? In fact, I think he's been pretty damn good. He's done some really good things. He's not perfect, but nobody is. So, do we trust him? That he's not going to trade away the next Bobby Wood Jr. or Julio Rodriguez? 248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback next. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Gator out today. Wow. 248-539-9797. A ton of feedback today. Two Tiger insiders have basically written the same thing today. Don't expect a big move. Tigers aren't cracking their top five prospects. They will not move them. And, you know, you go, all right, is this a massive mistake? Do they need to strike while the iron's hot? I tend to believe that. I tend to believe that they do. Kang, you brought up a very good point earlier. Look at Baltimore a year ago. Everybody thought they were set up for sustained success. And where are they this year? 15 and a half games out. Now, that's a warning of what can happen. But maybe Baltimore's guys were just all overrated. Maybe they'll never pan out. Maybe it's, you know, they had a bunch of injuries too. It's important to keep in mind. But here's a Tiger team that has a chance to fortify a lineup with the trade deadline 6 days away. And what we're hearing is probably a swing and miss reliever. Cody Stavenhagen implied that there might be other bats that they could get more so than the Evan Petzold story did. But don't count on Suarez or Class A is what they basically are writing. And what tells me is that Tigers fully believe in their top five prospects, like fully believe in them. And that's what the asking price is, which it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, we've been preparing ourselves for this trade deadline for a while and talking about how in the last decade when the Tigers haven't been competitive, the buyer-seller dynamic has changed in that it's hard with this many teams in competition, you have to pay a higher price to land a player of substance that's more than a rental. And look, they obviously, you know, if these guys are right and dialed in, and I mean, this feels like somebody got pulled aside last night and given the scoop here on what's going on, but it feels to me as though the asking prices are just way too much.
Yeah, it's not like a grocery store where you can go in and pick and choose whatever you want, right?
Yep.
They got real competition from other teams, and there's going to be a bidding war, a negotiation process, and I get all that. And it's not crazy to think that they weren't going to be ultra aggressive. I mean, Scott Harris has always kind of said that when he took the job. But we always felt like when the time was right, you know, when the time is right, they'll spend the money. When time is right, they'll go make an aggressive move. When the time is right. This offseason, they didn't get Bregman, but they made him a pretty significant offer. Maybe they felt the time was right to go get that player that was available at a position of need. I feel right now the time is right to go get that, to make a move to help this team make a deep postseason run and ultimately win the World Series. I feel like a lot of times GMs and presidents, Doug, they try to win multiple championships before they win one.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, you got to win one, man. Well, and then we'll start talking about sustainability, yeah, I feel like.
I guess if you look at it as your job and you go all in for one and you swing and miss, you might lose your job. But
true.
If you put together a 10-year plan where you say we're going to be competitive every year, and I'm not saying you make decisions based upon longevity, but it's a very attractive thing to do if you're in a position like a Brad Holmes or a Scott Harris. But 248-539-9797. Let's go to Scott. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing, Nick? How are you doing there, Greg?
Thank you. I'm good.
My feedback, and I told Kenny, is I wouldn't worry about Tarek Skubal because of the fact that he's going to be going somewhere else. I would think highly on that. So why not keep what you have and don't worry about the five prospects that these guys have got. Go for the World Series this year and let next year, worry about next year when it gets to be next year.
So, Scott, and I'm just going to bring up a hypothetical here for you. If you are in Scott Harris's shoes and you're evaluating talent and you're as sure as anything that Max Clark, Kevin McGonigal, Briseño, Lorenzo, like you are locked in, these are some of the best prospects I've ever seen. And I think they're going to contribute to this team for a decade. You're like, I'd trade them anyway.
Quite honestly, I would go ahead and look at, I'm not saying trade every one of them, but I wouldn't be afraid to trade some of them.
There is some redundancy. There is some redundancy, right? They got two catcher first basemen. They got two shortstops in the mix. Can you give up one of each? You probably could. But there's, we did this a year ago from the other side. We were asking for Basilo, the catcher from the Orioles. It's their top prospect. We thought, we could get him for Flaherty. The Dodgers, we were talking about getting the Dodgers top prospects, and we got like number 7 and number 13. Now, it turns out one helped them make the playoffs, and the other one's one of the top prospects in the game now. But, we shopped veteran players and thought we were going to score big, and that's what other teams are probably asking for. They're probably trying to score the boatload of the motherload of prospects from the Tigers. 248-539-9797. Dave is next on 97. Want a ticket. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, and go blue, Doug.
Okay, go blue.
All right, I have a question. Everyone's saying Scott Harris this, Scott Harris that. But how do we know, I know what Illich offered Bregman, but how do we know he's going to authorize any extra payroll for this team? Because, A, what we've done so far, but right now we're on the verge of one of the biggest monumental collapses in sports history. I mean, the prospects are nice, but we need a good veteran presence on this team for these players can learn. I mean, we got 5 of them, but how many, the top 5, how many are pitchers? Because right now, Skubal's going to be walking. I don't see Illich offering Skubal anywhere near what he's worth. So, yes, I like Scott Harris. I want to see what he will do. But I have to think that maybe he's being handicapped by Christopher Illich in this because he's going to make his money either way, win or lose.
He might be. I don't know why they would have offered Bregman that contract.
Yeah, I mean, he offered it to him, okay. But what makes us think that he's going to say, okay, I missed out on Bregman. Let's make a trade and see if we can go after this guy or that guy to help.
Well, here's why, Dave. A lot of those players are rentals that don't cost that much money. You're paying them for 2 months, and then they're free agents.
Yeah, but, and of course we would like, if we do get a good rental, it'd be nice to try to sign them.
Well, Suarez is 36, and I don't know how long you want to give him a contract, but there are other guys. Like O'Neill Cruz being out there and available now, it appears, would be awfully attractive. But look, the Chris Illich topic, until proven otherwise, I understand people's skepticism. I do put some merit in the fact that they offered Bregman $150 million, $160, whatever it was. I didn't like the length of that contract and thought that Bregman was going to make him better in the short term, but it had long-term regret written all over it. But look, until they spend the money, I get why people are skeptical. 248-539-9797. Sean is next on 97. Want a ticket. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. I'm going to keep it short and simple. The Akil Baddoo caller must have been hanging out with Len Bias back in the day. That's the craziest take I've ever heard in my entire life. He's been on the roster this year. It wasn't pretty. He's an average subpar defender with a noodle arm. He's just fast. I don't know why we think that's the answer. But I think fans need to also realize there's a lot more holes in this roster than just one reliever or just one bat. And maybe Scott Harris knows that.
Sean, I mean, look, I tend to agree with you. I'm respectful to the caller, who obviously is a big believer in Akil Badu, and I like people with conviction, but yeah, I don't see him being like a massive difference maker. I wouldn't be shocked if we see him the rest of the way. He plays a role. And if they don't, if they're going to promote from within, but there are other guys that probably get a chance before Akil Badu. He's a nice 4A guy that has helped this team at times. 248-539-9797. Ray is next. Hi, Ray.
Can I ask a question, a couple of questions here? It's been since 1984 since we won a championship here. I heard you made a comment that the guy mentioned that Parker Meadows and Matt Verley might be the answer, blah, blah, blah. Those guys should not even be on the roster right now. Okay, the problem I have right now is that the guys are not trying to win now. They're trying to predict for the future. I would trade Max Clark for the Pittsburgh player in a second. Okay, he's proven he's an MLB player. Max Clark.
You're talking about O'Neill Cruz?
Exactly. Yeah. I would do that in a minute, okay? And then for us to be able to sit back and not do any moves at the trade deadline, this falls right in line with the rest of our organizations, okay? You know, Brad Holmes not getting anybody on defense.
I got Zadarius
Smith. Not doing anything. I don't want to branch off over there. But look, if he thinks that not winning a championship right now means something to us, it's been 21 freaking years.
Well,
I don't care what happens next year. I don't care. If you win a championship right now, guess what? We can all be happy.
Well, let's be clear. No move guarantees you a championship right now. And I know you don't care, but they shouldn't care about. I wouldn't operate with this as the last time they won if I'm Scott Harris, because that just puts you in a position where you're making desperate moves. He's in year three, and I would prefer that the GM operate in a year three mindset than a 40-year mindset, because you could really make some desperate, stupid moves. Now, as far as Clark for O'Neill Cruz, If O'Neill Cruz is available, I mean, look, I understand the allure of that, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong. But there's been no mention of the Tigers and O'Neill Cruz. There's been mention of the O'Neill Cruz and the Yankees. So I don't know why there hasn't been any mention of the Tigers. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, if they don't go for it more here, and Brad Holmes did get Zadarius Smith, but if they don't go for it here, they better be right about these prospects panning out, because otherwise it's potentially very wasted opportunity, and it might speak to their conviction as to how good they think these guys are. 248-539-9797-971, the ticket. Couple of Tiger beat writers have said today, don't expect big moves. Feels like some intel was given out recently, and that the Tigers' plan 6 days to go before the trade deadline isn't going to be a swing for the fences type of move. And maybe it's because that's what the market is telling them, that a swing for the fences type move means dipping into the top prospects maybe a little too deep. Maybe people are asking for maybe two of those prospects. You always have to wonder why what otherwise logic people have done good things do things that people don't understand. And I've had this happen before where I was sitting around, I'm questioning what coaches do, and I'll meet with them and I'll say, why did you do this? And they'll say something and you go, oh, you realize it makes more sense. So I'm just going to assume that the asking price, and I think it's a pretty safe assumption for the top tier guys that are available on the trade market, is expensive. Now, some people don't care about prospects and about the future. Just go all in for now. And if you'd go in all in for now and you win a championship, great. But if you don't and you pay a hefty price and you've given up on, I keep using the same examples, but you've given up on the next Bobby Witt Jr. or Julio Rodriguez, you've really effed up. But look, I would like to see them be more aggressive than the story applies. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Sandy in Clinton Township. You're next. Hello, Sandy.
Hey, I was listening earlier, and I guess you kind of answered my question, which was, are the Tigers really not going all in right now, given their start, to try to get all the way to the series, at least? It just kind of sounds like, I don't know, maybe I believed a little too much in the mirage of the first half, but I really thought we were going for it. You know, and it just sounds like we're backing off, or we're saying there's a line in the sand, I guess, which I guess is not what I was expecting.
Yeah. You use the word mirage, which is really interesting, is whether or not we believe that the first half of the season was a mirage.
Well, mirage is kind of strong. I guess I just thought they just seem to gel so well. Everybody, every night, you know, just kind of clicking like clockwork. And to all of a sudden go back to the 2006, say, where you're losing nine great games in a row in May or so. And you know, it seems like every year we can hit a plateau and then everybody falls off. You know, either one person's hitting or not hit. Nobody's hitting or everybody's hitting. You know what I'm saying? It's what is the issue with them?
Appreciate the phone call. The one thing that was made the first half feel very authentic is that they didn't have to be the inverse of this to win at a level to put them with the best record in baseball. And what I mean by that is right now it feels like just about every aspect of this team is failing. Before this, night in, night out, they weren't perfect. They were winning games on nights where they didn't hit. They were winning games on nights where they didn't pitch. They were winning in spite of their flaws, which to me actually makes it feel like more sustainable, that it really was real. It wasn't, because right now, nothing, it feels like nothing is working. Starting pitching can be good for a few innings, but then it implodes. You got bullpen issues. The offense has scored like legitimately without, I don't know what the number is, but they've, it feels like half the runs they've scored since the All-Star break have been meaningless. And, you know, they haven't scored much at all. Everything's been bad. Well, you know, for everything to be bad feels like a very short-term stretch of very poor play. That this can happen in baseball, and it's all happening at once. Earlier in the year, when their offense wasn't scoring, their pitching was coming through. And when their pitching wasn't great, the offense was coming through. And they rode that to the best record in a game. Is that something they can get back to? Yeah, I expect them to. I honestly do. But they've got this clock ticking 6 days and counting to the trade deadline. And they've got a bigger clock above that. It says a year and a half until they may lose the best pitcher in the game. That hovering over this organization, I hate that it's a story, because I think the bigger, more fun story to talk about is this year. But there's no question, the looming Skubal contract is a story. Feedback coming in. Whether Petzl knows something or not, it's common sense. You shouldn't sell the farm to add to this team. They are simply not a real contender. The hot start was fun, but what this team is coming through. They're a borderline playoff team talent-wise, and we're finally seeing that. That's from Tyler. And Tyler's overstating the case in terms of how bad they are, a borderline playoff team. I don't know if I'd go there yet. I guess it's possible, though. The current team has proven they can win and can be the best team in baseball. Keeping all of their top five prospects is the right call. All five won't pan out, but if two or three of them do, then they will be set up for years. Next text, the Tigers will be fine. They got the best record in the American League Central with their current roster. They will get their second win. That's from Trucker Fred. I tend to believe more what Trucker Fred says there, because we've been predicting a terrible stretch of play, because this happens to everybody. Now, maybe not this bad, but I'm sure there was absolute panic in New York. I have to go back and find. I'm pretty sure they got shut out three straight games. The Yankees, with their lineup, they lost to the Reds 7-1. They lost 3-0. No, that's not the stretch. Hold on. Didn't the Yankees get shut out three games in a row earlier this year? Which, I'm in that town. It probably went nuts. Absolutely nuts. I can't find it. Maybe I'm wrong. Did I make that up? Did I dream that? Yeah, here it is. They lost to Boston 2-0. They lost in 11 innings to the Angels 1-0, which meant they started two innings with runners on second base and didn't score them. They lost to the Angels again 4-0. Three straight games. We documented yesterday how the three of the teams at the top of the record, the standings, had lost like 7 of 8, 8 of 9, 8 of 10 at one point. So when you're in a losing streak, I know what it feels like. You're never going to win again. Don is in Howell, and he's on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Don.
Hey, Doug.
What's up?
So I think for the last 18 months, we've been, the last half of last year, getting into the playoffs, and then the first half of this year, that by their own admission, they were a young and dumb team, right? They didn't know, like, the value of what was happening to the team. I think now, with the All-Star break coming through, and hey, we've got some All-Stars, and you know we're on top of the league. Now, coming out of the gate slow, I think they're starting to realize that hey, we're really doing something here, and it's starting to dawn on them that they might not. Water's going to find its level here, and we're seeing it. And now they're starting.
Real quick, I want clarification. Do you it's starting to dawn on the players, or it's starting to dawn on the front office?
I think the players. I think the front office. In my opinion, the front office is like, wow, we didn't expect this in the first half, and I don't think anybody expected what they did in the first half. So they still feel like they're ahead of schedule with their quote plan, and I don't think they want to deviate from a plan. And that's why I don't think we're going to see much at the trade deadline. We're going to see some very small, minute moves, if anything, because I think in their mind they think they're ahead of schedule.
Okay, that's interesting. I that would kind of make some sense. Hey, look, we think we're going to be elite. The problem is the Scooble thing, right? The Scooble thing hanging over their head. I hope they have a plan, and maybe they do, and they are really certain they're going to be able to bring him back. hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean they don't truly believe. It doesn't mean they don't truly believe they're going to bring him back. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, if you missed the story today, we'll recap the two now insiders saying don't expect them to go big at the trade deadline, basically predicting bullpen arms or a bullpen arm and a lot of promotion from within and a lot of counting on McKinstry and Veerling and Meadows, et cetera. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Anderson out. He'll be back on Monday. Kang back in the studio. What are we calling it? Studio X, wherever the hell you are, located somewhere in this building. We go through the renovation.
You need Google Maps to find me.
I do. I don't have time during the commercial break to get over there. I've thought a couple times, I got to go talk to Kang, and I'm like, I can't get there and back in time. But
we need a speed train from studio to studio.
High speed train. Yeah,
forget up north.
Yeah. Tons of feedback coming in as people aren't happy. And look, I understand it. I'd like to see them get more aggressive than these stories imply. Because I feel like you can afford to give up one of your top five prospects. But both Evan Petzl and Cody Stavenhagen essentially wrote today, and I'll recap some of the key points, but essentially wrote today, the price for getting big moves done is a top five prospect, and the Tigers aren't going to do that. Expect some middle reliever kind of guy or bullpen help. They aren't giving up on Daniel Suarez, but given what the The bidding war is expected to be, it sounds like Arizona, I'm gonna guess that Arizona set a price tag that made them say no. Like, we want McGonigal and Max Clark and Justin Henry Molloy. And the Tigers said, well, we're not giving up our two top prospects for a rental. And Arizona said, okay, forget it. And then now Arizona's going to tell every organization that that's what they want. They want the sun and the moon. And when they don't get it from everybody, maybe they'll circle back to the Tigers and say, okay, we'll do it for just Clark. And maybe the Tigers will say yes to that. I don't know. But it's interesting. The variety of feedback we've gotten is, yeah, don't give up these elite prospects, all the way to you have to strike while the iron's hot. There's a variable that hangs over the looms over the organization, and that's the Scoobal contract, which feels like any window that they have with Scoobal has a shelf life. Now, could they re-sign him? Sure. Sure they could. Could they have a ton of money earmarked for Scoobal? And if he doesn't sign here and signs elsewhere, can they go spend it on other players? Sure. Sure they could. But here's the feedback that's come in. Doug, do the Stars need to align for you to think win now? They had the best record all year. I mean, what gives? All that aside, there's no salary cap in baseball. Why are you worried about the money? That's on the owner. Because here's why I'm worried about the money. I don't want them to spend bad money. I don't want them, because the Tigers can't rebound the way other markets can. If you sign a long-term bad contract, and look, nobody thinks they're signing a bad contract when they sign it. An organization doesn't think this is a terrible investment, but we're going to do it anyway. So you don't think that you're spending bad money, but if you F that up, it's more crippling for Detroit than it is for others. Now, I don't care. It's not my money. But they do have more budget restrictions than the big players in baseball. I mean, I always go back to the same example. Hideki Arabu, my Padres that I'm a fan of, and the Yankees got into a bidding war for Arabu. The Yankees won him. He wasn't worth it, and they just went about their business. They didn't care. The Padres would have been devastated by that. But anyway, I'm so sick and tired of teams in this town being afraid of the big moves. All four here are scared of giving up the good for the great. Well, I bet every GM would tell you they're not scared. They just didn't think the right move was on the table. But look, I mean, we hear this all the time. The prospects of a 2027 work stop. The prospect of a 2027 work stoppage is also a variable that we have to consider as the team builds for the next few seasons. That's from an unnamed texter. Good work stoppage talk. Spending money isn't a consideration at the trade deadline. Suarez or any other players only owed a few million the rest of the season. This is about keeping prospects to form a core to afford Scoobal and other key free agents for the next 5 years. That's from Matt in Richmond. I think it's a very astute observation, Matt. We had somebody else, I think it was Ryan and Elkton, who said the same thing. That because yeah, most of these rental guys don't cost much. You're paying them for 2 months. And then they become free agents. You don't have to pay them if you don't want to anymore beyond that. Now, that means giving up chips short-term or long-term chips for short-term. But, hey, look, that those moves can win you World Series, too. They can. If this is all about keeping Scoobal long-term and understanding that we're going to make sure that we can make this happen, it's nice to have affordable contracts, less cumbersome contracts. It could be it. Could be it. Don't be fooled by the term long-term success, writes an unnamed texter. That's just code word for long-term milking of the fan base. They basically lost two valuable starters from last year, Carpenter and Meadows. They can't compete without them. That's from Larry in Commerce.
I do think Carpenter, that's a big... Yeah, a big bat that they could really use. That I kind of trust and believe in when he's healthy. You know,
yeah, and he's I think 3 games into his rehab.
Yeah,
so hopefully he'll be back soon and providing something, because it's not, you know, look, Kerry Carpenter is what Kerry Carpenter has been for this team is incredibly important. 2 games, 8 plate appearances, 7 at bats, 1 hit, 1 walk. So I guess he didn't play last night. I don't know.
It just seems, though, with these two articles basically saying the Tigers are going to be conservative, don't expect anything big. Like, do you read into it? Like, are they telling teams we have untouchables? I mean, I don't think you should operate like that, you know? I understand they really want to hold on to their, like, maybe top five prospects or their young guys, but do you operate at a trade deadline with saying certain guys are already off limits?
Well, if you're trying to drive the hardest bargain, maybe somebody will look at that and say, okay, we'll take your number six guy or we'll take your number seven guy. You know, it's funny. We brought up the name Chris Rodriguez. Remember the kid from the Dominican or wherever that is 17 years old we had fans saying he's untouchable. This is one of those international signings. And I don't think he's a top 10 prospect yet, but he's like smoking the ball down in a league where it looks like it's the red team versus the blue team and somewhere in South America. And people are like, no, don't trade him. It's easy to fall in love with prospects, but the thing is you can cash them in for help now. It's how the dynamics and the economics of baseball work is you can cash in prospects that you hope are going to help you in the future to help now. And I tend to say, do it. But man, I mean, I don't think Scott Harris is an idiot. And if you didn't think so 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks later, if you suddenly think he's an idiot, then that's just responding to the recent losing streak. And now you don't like that they aren't going to fix it now in a heavier way. Because if you didn't think he was an idiot 2 weeks ago, I mean, 2 weeks ago, he'd really put together arguably the best team in baseball. And look, we said there is a difference between best team in baseball and best record. They had the best record in baseball. Why doesn't he want to give up on those prospects? I can't imagine how they have to be so convinced that many of them would regret for years giving up McGonagall or Clark or Rayner or Lorenzo or Briseño that. Right? I mean, they would have to be so convinced that they're going to be good that they would rue the day. And if the asking price is two of those guys for a rental, yeah, I could see why you'd say no. You'd balk at that. 248-539-9797. This is a joke. This smells of Chris saying they're not going to spend. If not now, when? Come on. Well, again, rentals don't cost much financially. They don't. So if you're looking at a guy that is you're gonna have to pay for 2 months to help you win now, this isn't about spending. It's about not wanting to give up the prospects, right? The Tigers need two bullpen arms, a right-handed bat and a starting pitcher. That's too much to get at one deadline. That's from an unnamed texter. Everyone talks about making big trades at the deadline like it's a sure thing to guarantee to win a championship. Dave Dombrowski operated that way for a decade plus, and how many championships did he win? It's a good point. I mean, look, one guy called up and said they're passing on a championship, one championship, because they're trying to win multiple championships. Well, if they can make a move that they thought would guarantee him the championship, I bet they would make it.
But of course, there's no guarantees. Like the texter just mentioned, Dombrowski did all he could to bring the big names here. We have no World Series championships to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think fans want, and myself at least, is you want to give your best effort. Wow. You know, like did I do everything like I could within reason, of course, to put the best team out there to give these guys a chance to win it all? And if you didn't you feel like you left something on the table?
Maybe, because you could always do. The truth is, you could always do more. You can always do more. And keep sacrificing future assets. You could. So did they do their best effort, or did they do their best effort within reason? Because at some point, you have to say, we can't do anymore. Look, I keep making these arguments for the other side, playing a little bit of devil's advocate. I would like them to do more than just get one bullpen arm. Let me be clear. 248-539-9797. If you miss a story, we'll recap it. We'll recap what is being written today about our Tigers. Sounds like a passive plan for the trade deadline. We'll get to that at 12:05. If you missed it earlier, Carson Anderson, 97, won the ticket.